appreciate the opportunity to share with you this 30 years plus of work and the culmination of a collaborative relationship between the University of Florida, IPM Florida, and Becker Underwood, who produces our nematode product. This will give you an idea of what you don't want to have happen if you are a golf course superintendent. You'll be looking for a new job. It also looks like that in pasture. This is the mole cricket. How many of you have seen a mole cricket? You know what it is? Most of you? Well, good. We have a couple of alien invasive mole cricket species that are causing damage in Florida, the tawny and the southern. When you go out to find them, you look for the galleries, and you can sample by using soapy water. If you want an accurate sample, you might have to put in pitfall traps. This is Dr. Howard Frank and I putting in pitfall traps, and it wasn't too bad of a job in Puerto Rico to do that, but the students always make sure that we're the ones and not them. Actually, for those of you that know about pitfall traps, they're a pain in the neck to work with. Well, why did we get involved in this? Chemical control is a difficult problem for mole crickets. It's very expensive. The mole cricket damage is also very expensive, and the whole combination of costs can be over $100 million a year in the southeast United States. Chemicals get more and more expensive to apply as well as to buy, and the mole crickets rebound every year, so you just have the same problem occurring again, and of course all these non-target effects. So the state legislature in Florida provided $300,000 for us to go out and try to develop biological control. And we put together a work group, with the objective of developing this Steinernema scaptoriski nematode, determining its establishment and spread, and making it into a commercial product. Those were the objectives that we had in mind. Well, what helped us along was this Technology Transfer Act of 1980, the Bayh-Dole Act. It provided all these technology licensing offices, and we have one at the University of Florida, as well as the connections between the academic institutions and the R&D community, and incentives for the university and the industries to work together. So the idea was to bridge this gap between the science that we produce at the university and the products that will generate a profit for the companies and return royalties to the patent holder at the university. Well, what are the benefits of this technology licensing? I haven't been a real advocate of it, so let's look at the benefits. I think I'll just move over here. You can hear me and I can reach a whole lot better. It protects this venture capitalist's investment, moves discoveries to the marketplace, hopefully a little more rapidly than if we have the science published and hope that somebody picks it up. Forms industrial partnerships, attracts research funding, and we have had some attraction of funding, although our technology licensing offices, let me move this over. Okay. People can hear me clear down the street. Anyway, the technology licensing offices always tell us as scientists, we cost money, we don't make money. But anyway, they would like us to make some money. Places graduates in rewarding jobs. We have placed some of our graduates with these companies. And earns this royalty income that the universities as funding organizations have now become. Well, for biological control specifically, what are the advantages of this technology transfer? Rearing and handling equipment, we can patent those kinds of things. We can patent materials for manipulating organisms. We can patent diets, and you know that we have some diets that have been patented and licensed. Rearing applications and methods, specific uses for natural enemies, and even the natural enemies themselves. Actually, this isn't a natural enemy. It's the world's ugliest dog. Sorry about that. Well, what the tradition was in publicly funded research, and this money came from the legislature, was to have the public domain work in two ways. One is to over on the left, see if I can get this over here. If you follow this little pathway down here, you'll see that a company would pick up our research, move it to the marketplace through market analysis, provide funding for it, develop a product and sell it to customers. That's traditional. Well, we also, those of us that have spent a lot of our lives in publicly funded research organizations, you can have the government institution itself pick it up, move through a feasibility study to a product, and deliver it to a clientele group. In this case, it's primarily the cattlemen of Florida that wanted this product. But in our case, we had a patented product. The use of this nematode to control the mole crickets, these alien invasive mole crickets, is patented. And so you do a market analysis, get financing, and then a license is granted to the company that decides it can make a commercial product, in this case Becker Underwood. And they then sell it to their customers. And this is a very happy story if it works. And I'm going to show you how it has worked and how it has not worked. In the first case, we needed to have production, and nobody could do that better than Becker Underwood through the company they purchased, Microbio. So they're able to produce large numbers reliably, and we could put that market, that product out in the marketplace. We needed to know how to apply the nematode so that it would survive and be effective. And that we did at the university. Martin Ajay in the center there led that effort. The late Martin Ajay, he was killed during the project, unfortunately. But he learned how to apply these nematodes. He's an agronomist, and his interest was in having pasture restoration. One thing that happens very often, I get calls by homeowners particularly, but also cattlemen, and they want that nematode when they want it. And I have to tell them, no, you have to understand the biology of the organism that you're trying to control. This is a very important lesson. This nematode only works on large nymphs and adults. So you have to look at the life history and see that you get adults and large nymphs in February, March, and somewhat over in September and October. That's the time when you have to apply it, and that's when it has to be raised and available commercially. So it's not just like it's on the shelf ready to go. This just shows you the results. If you look at the blue line, that's before we released the nematode in our study plots. And then we go to 2001 and 2002. In 2000, we have a red line, and you can see that we didn't have much impact. In 2001, we have a yellow line, and we knocked out the spring population. And in 2002, the green line shows that we got suppression. You need to remember that this nematode, unlike the Steinernema species that were shown before by Larry, this nematode reproduces in the mole crickets and cycles. So it's an inoculative release. We're not looking at having to do this every year. It's maintained. And this is why it's so valuable to get these into the field. So that's what we did. In 2001 and 2002, we took that public funding and put out about 80 billion nematodes. It's about 1 billion nematodes as a broadcast release per acre, in case you're not aware of that. 32 counties, a lot of education and training, diagnostic work to know that we got establishment and impact. We did our surveys, refined the methods, got establishment and spread, and knew we had a viable product that we could stand behind. So Martin went out to make sure that we also got the restoration in the pasture that we had hoped for. And his results were, after 6 months, 80% of the mole crickets were infected. After a year, we had spread across the pasture. In fact, we had so much spread, we had trouble publishing the paper because our controls looked just like our treated, and all of our treated looked the same as well. This mole cricket gets infected and moves and spreads the nematode rapidly. But in 3 years, we had an 85% decline in those mole crickets, 40 to 90% recovery of the bahia grass, and we had an infection rate that was maintained in the population. So we achieved our goal, and we have a pasture here in South Florida that has recovered, and again, 95% of that grass is back for those cattle. Well, what do you do with that? Becker Underwood establishes its distributors. You can see we have the pasture and sod farm distributors, golf course athletic field distributors, and distributed to the homeowners. And this is all a very happy story up until a couple, 3 years ago. A couple years ago, Gardens Alive decided they weren't making any money, so they discontinued the product for homeowners. When I go out to these distributors, they give me this quizzical look when I ask about the nematodes. Most of them don't even know what it is. We do have Becker Underwood's advertisements, and we have Becker Underwood's regional representative, but there's not enough education and there's not enough customer service. So the product continues to decline in the marketplace, and the marketing division of Becker Underwood has decided that it's probably not viable, and again, Gardens Alive decided it was not viable and quit selling it. So we thought we had a great success, but we stopped at the point of producing a product and didn't really follow through on the customer service after the first year. I asked Randy Gogler when I was at the International Congress, what do I do? And he said, well, this is not a unique story. Do a survey and see where you stand with your cattlemen. So we did that recently, and we said, do you still have problems? Yes, we do. Would you like us to help you solve that problem as the university and Becker Underwood working together? And they said, oh, yes, we would. Are you willing to pay $50 an acre? Well, we've been able to develop the research to show that you can use 1/8 acre applications with this kind of a spread. So the cost of this nematode to a cattleman goes from $200 an acre at a 1 billion release to 1/8 acre strips, giving you $25 an acre. And that's what they want to pay, $25 an acre. Well, I go to them and I say, that's fine for the product, but what about the service? Here we go. We don't want to pay more. Then the last one is, well, would you pay more if the Cattlemen's Association would help you out with the applications? And they say yes. So they want customer service, but they don't want to pay a lot more money per acre. Again, once the nematode's in that acre, it's going to reproduce and suppress those mole crickets, unlike any other control option. But they're thinking a year at a time. So where are we today? We want to reestablish commercial application of that nematode. Somehow get it out there on behalf of the people who need to use it. And that's what people are used to. They're used to calling up a pest control operator or a fertilizer applicator and saying, I want this done, how much does it cost per acre? They want to see that same kind of a plan for biologicals. They want to keep the cost of $25 to $50 an acre. You can go way, way beyond this for a golf course, but then you can't suffer any damage. You've got a zero tolerance for damage. Pasture, you can take a lot of damage, but it's not worth a lot per acre. We want these customer service activities to start back up again, where we're out in the field helping the customers to use the product. They want much more promotion and field demonstrations by Becker Underwood and our extension community, and they want a way to predict when to grow these organisms so that we don't have to have problems stockpiling, because they only last for about 3 months. So we are at the point where we arrive with just about every biological system that I'm involved in, and that is the product is only part of the answer. The full answer is the product and customer service in the field. Thank you. By the way, there's lots and lots of information on this topic at our website. And it went pretty fast, so you can study it at your leisure. Questions?
What's the average size of a cattle pasture in Florida?
There isn't one. I've actually looked at the data. We are getting more and more of these 10 and 20 acre, forgotten what we call them. Anyway, where people are part-time ranchers or part-time farmers, although we have thousands of acres in some of our ranches. So it's quite a wide range of size.
So in your survey, and you ask them how much would they pay, they said $25. Do they also tell you how much acres they have?
Yes.
So you would be able to glean that information?
Yes, and the people who need this customer service are the small ranchers. The big ones have their own operations. They have no problem doing whatever they want to do. It's a great story. I don't have a lot of time, but ranchers in Florida are generally diversified these days. So they'll do citrus. We have major ranchers who have golf courses. So they really get diverse in what they do, and they have big operations. Other questions? That's a good one. Okay. Oh, one more.
Has there been more interest from the golf courses?
Poor golf courses. They have that zero tolerance. What we've been advocating is the use of the nematode in the roughs. Go ahead and continue those practices on the greens and fairways. But it's very interesting. I know most of you are in here because you have an interest in the biological side of pest management. Golf courses are under severe pressure in terms of reentry. You know, they don't have farm workers reentering, they have golfers reentering. And so they're having to do all kinds of things to protect the golfers from non-target effects. And this is one thing that could help them.
If you have been able to go down from full acre treatment to every eighth strip, mm-hmm. why can't you just go down to every 16th and just wait another year or two?
You could, and you can spot treat. The homeowners in particular, we try to help them sample and spot treat. So you can run the cost of application down, but the product now is only available in a billion acre package that has four compartments. So it's $200. And we even have homeowners who say, okay, I'll go down the street and get some more homeowners and we'll buy $200 worth and we'll split it up. So there's really an interest. The problem is you just need a sustained market at a certain level for these companies to compare with other products, and they're making a lot of money off of their traditional products. There's one other question I was hoping somebody to ask, and if I have a moment, do I? Okay. All the way through this work, we've been asked about, this isn't a viable product because it's an inoculative release, and ultimately the market will go away. It doesn't quite work that way. You constantly have the mole cricket resurging, and this is a huge area of the Gulf states. So Becker Underwood, if they're able to continue this to serve this market, will make a lot of money for a long time. It is not true that an inoculative release eliminates or precludes a market. Thank you.